dealing with state legislators is understanding the basic risk the basic National Academy of Sciences risk assessment process.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any suggestions for approaching a process like that with a legislative body?
Well, a couple of things when remembering that. First of all, just back to the basic information, which is environmental health is particularly difficult. Trying to boil something down like the National Academy of Science and Risk Assessment down to something that's a couple of buzzwords and a couple of things is very, very difficult. So I think you have to take somewhat of a broad approach to argue the credibility of the National Academy of Science. To talk about it is a very solid group of experts that that this is the best we have and why it's the best, and argue for the process, not the detail, because for the most part policymakers don't care about the detail. You know, they care about the result. And if you can argue that the process is solid, not giving the details of the process, but the process coming from the national academies is solid, therefore it takes away their doubt. If they don't agree with it, they're not going to agree with it, but you can at least come forward saying, this is the best information we have based on the process that's been set up. It's not easy, is it?
No.
Are there any other questions? Thank you very much.
Our next speaker is Mark Werner from the Wisconsin Department of Health and Family Services, and Mark will speak with us about demonstration projects to documented progress incorporating hospitalization data in environmental public health tracking.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm with the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, and we've been funded grantee from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention since 2002 for our environmental public health tracking program, and I'm going to specifically talk about, I'll provide a little introduction into, my thinking on what tracking is and what some of the objectives of the overall grant are, but I'll try to focus on hospitalization data. We've been working with hospitalization data as a tracking endpoint for a number of years and went through some demonstration projects that I'll outline. I'll talk about what we did and what we learned from those projects and how we're applying what we learned as we moved into the implementation phase of this project. I have no relationships to disclose this morning. So my objectives are to, first of all, describe the rationale for including hospitalization data as a tracking endpoint, why we think it's one of the data sources that environmental health surveillance that has been underutilized in environmental health surveillance and merits inclusion in this process. I'll talk about our efforts in looking at hospitalization data and talk about some of the challenges to using hospitalization data on state and national tracking efforts. So I'll start by talking about the concept of environmental public health tracking, and I may use EPHT as shorthand. I may use tracking for shorthand. There are a lot of syllables in environmental public health tracking. The overall goal is to develop a systematic, coordinated approach to environmental public health surveillance, looking at primarily three different types of data. We look at hazard data, which we think of as conditions in the environment that may affect human health. So this would include data on topics like drinking water and air quality. When we think about exposure data, we may be thinking particularly about biomonitoring data, such as blood lead levels in children, and health outcomes that may be related to the environment. And these include hospitalizations for asthma, myocardial infarction, cancer diagnoses, and health outcomes like those. We think that this sort of systematic coordinated approach to surveillance will serve to enhance environmental public health surveillance capacity and capability, and also increase the accessibility and availability of environmental public health data. And there are I think those two terms are important. The objective here is not simply to provide, to put more data out into the public sphere, but also to ensure that the data that are out there are on platforms and are presented in a way that more people can access them and can interpret them for people's role in influencing public policy, but also for their own personal health decisions. And this is the conceptual model that we've been looking at for the last several years that describes the relationship between hazard exposure and health effect data, and the objective is to make data like these available on coordinated platforms so that they can be accessed, and interpreted by a range of public health stakeholders. And this is a map that shows the range of grantees from the CDC program. There are 16 state health departments currently funded, along with the New York City Health Department, and there are four academic centers, four schools of public health that provide academic support to our efforts in this program. So I'm going to talk specifically about hospitalization data and our experience with them and where we've been with hospitalization data and where we're going now. But others could easily give the same sort of presentation on other core topic areas, and these include birth defects in cancer, vital statistics, primarily birth outcome data, drinking water data, air quality data, and carbon monoxide poisoning data. And these were measures that were developed simply because they were ones that were important in environmental health, and there were ones for which we thought that data improvements could really improve. Improvements in surveillance were needed and could really improve overall environmental health. So in thinking about hospitalizations as a source of data for environmental public health surveillance, there are, I came up with three criteria why I think hospitalization data were included and why they should have been included. One is that we know hospitalizations represent a significant chronic disease health event. Certainly for asthma and MI, these are events that we can record. We know that they're serious, and we know that they're an important and worthwhile prevention focus. We also know that hospitalizations for certain conditions, such as asthma, myocardial infarction, are known to be linked to environmental exposures. So this thing for on the asthma side, we know that ozone and particulate matter exposures can contribute to asthma hospitalizations. We also know that particulate matter exposure can contribute to MI hospitalizations. And a third reason is that state agencies have extensive experience in using hospitalization data. So it's a data source that we understand, and it's one that for which there is a good deal of experience in our own agencies, so that we wouldn't have to spend a lot of time developing data sources, but we knew that there were folks in our agencies who could help us, who had been using these data for a long time for a range of purposes. So in our experience with hospitalization data as in thinking about environmental public health surveillance, we primarily undertook two different demonstration projects. One is to develop an online asthma hospitalization report generation portal. So we were trying to, within a secure environment, create a means by which people within the public health system could access asthma hospitalization data and generate reports for their own purposes. And we also undertook a three-state project, the Public Health Air Surveillance Evaluation Project, with Wisconsin and Maine, which sought to characterize air quality data, different approaches for characterizing air quality data for optimal linkage with hospitalization data. So this is a shot of our online asthma hospitalization portal, which we created in 2004 and 2005. We took hospitalization data for a couple of years. This was back in the, at the time, I think we had data up through about 2002 that were on here. And the data steward for hospitalization data in Wisconsin at the time was our own agency, our Bureau of Health Information and Policy, which was where these data were housed up until about 5 years ago. And so this portal was securely housed within our Health Alert network, which meant you had it was authenticated. Getting access to it required that you were part of the public health system. And the scope of what sort of data we were going to put up there was negotiated with our Bureau of Health Information and Policy. This is one of the graphs that we could generate with this particular module. There was overall fairly limited analysis, visualization, and reporting capability. So there were certain types of figures that you could generate, but there wasn't a terribly long list. On the downside, these data were not available to the general public. This was something that was only available to people who were part of the public health system. We didn't have a public display, a means of displaying these data to the public. And I think because of that and because of the environment in which it was housed, the use of this system was fairly limited. And we didn't get a lot of feedback because we simply didn't get a lot of users. The other project that we undertook was the PHASE project, which I described earlier. This was an approach to evaluate new air quality characterization approaches for looking at air quality data with asthma and MI hospitalization data. And this was a collaboration with the New York State Health Department and the Maine State Health Department. And these are just some maps of ozone data. If you look at the top map, you're seeing estimates of air quality based on particular monitor sites, which obviously there are some serious spatial gaps there. And on the lower map is a model that EPA had generated, which clearly provides more information about in terms of spatial coverage, but there were some questions about how those numbers might be derived and whether we were getting reasonable estimates of air quality when you're coming up with interpolations to come up with values for areas where you don't have monitors. And we were able to identify some significant effects of particulate matter, in particular on asthma inpatient hospitalizations within our own state data. But the ultimate goal of the project in its second iteration was to merge data sets from the three states, and that was fraught with a great deal of bureaucratic difficulty. Being able to take our hospitalization data and say, yes, we think the New York Health Department can look at it, it was a model that did not fit in well with our hospitalization data use agreement, and it took about 9 months in a one-year project to simply negotiate that part of it. While it was an interesting project and one that I think could be replicated in theory, taking data from all of the grantees and putting it together on a particular platform would be a major feat in data use agreements. So what did we learn? We learned that linking air quality and asthma hospitalization data could be done. We could get interesting and meaningful results. That there was a significant effort that was required to share hospitalization data across state borders. And in terms of our online data access tool, we needed more user input to be able to come up with something that people would find useful. So as we move toward network implementation, and this is where we are from 2006 forward, our objectives are to establish secure and public portals. So secure portals are those in which public health system partners can access highly detailed data, and we're also developing public portals that describe highly aggregated data but can be accessed by members of the public. So for hospitalization data for asthma and MI, which were the two endpoints that we included, we developed specific indicators and also core data requirements. So there are both summary measures that are available to describe hospitalizations for asthma and MI, and also specific data sets that were specified to be aggregated, at a national level. There are three primary challenges that we have come up against in looking at hospitalization data, things that needed to be overcome. One, obviously, was data confidentiality. There were competing needs between public health agencies, between the data stewards. In our case, our new data steward is the Wisconsin Hospital Association, and they have interests in terms of maintaining financial support for the data system that they put together, and also the interest of the public in understanding what's happening in terms of asthma and other health issues. There are challenges around standardization. We have 17 grantees, all of which collect data in different ways on different endpoints and hospitalizations. There are differences in terms of how race and ethnicity are data are collected. There are differences in terms of the spatial the spatial variables that are present in the data set, whether we have address of someone who's hospitalized versus county versus zip code. There are differences in terms of whether data from public hospitals, say the Veterans Administration hospitals, are included in hospitalization records. So there were a number of issues that had to be worked out, and that when they had been worked out, require a lot of information to be provided so that people understand exactly what's in and what's out of a particular data set. We've also had some challenges in terms of messaging, coming up with ways of explaining these data to the public so that they can understand, we can craft easy to understand messages from such a complex data system. So I will talk a little bit about what our public portal is trying to do. Primarily, we're trying to create a means of by which people can fairly simply explore highly aggregated data on asthma and MI and a range of other health outcomes. So this is where we are. I think this is where we were a couple of weeks ago. Our deadline for network delivery is December 1st, and we do actually have a website that's in development, and I think we are at a point where we can look at this and talk to our IT folks and say, we can now enumerate the 40 or 50 issues that they need to resolve by the end of November, which is better than where we were a couple weeks ago. So this is a platform that can be queried by topic. If you look at asthma, we also have emergency department data, which not all the states who are grantees had access to or were able to put on their public networks. But you can either click on a county to get information or start with a topic area. And generally, when we do click on a county or if we're drilling down geographically, we can generate tables that will describe what's going on for particular age groups, and we can get crude or age-adjusted rates depending on what the objective of the user might be. And there's also information, you know, for data definitions. If someone's trying to figure out what an age-adjusted rate is versus a crude rate, there's some information to help them understand what it is that they're looking at. On the secure side of things, we're trying to deliver more highly detailed data to people within the public health system. And this is the login page that people will use when they get when they want to access the system. So you have to be an authenticated, you have to be qualified by employment, for example, to be able to get access to this particular portal. And this is our homepage, which shows the different types of data: drinking water, carcinogenic emissions, childhood lead. There's asthma and MI down at the bottom. This is what people will see when they log in. And this is an example of a display when you drill into the data, and this is for, I think it's for Adams County, which is the first county alphabetically. So we've typically used them for all of our displays. So we know a lot more about Adams County than we do about the rest of the counties, just because they were first alphabetically. But one problem I had with this particular slide was that someone else in my office had created this, and we have the gray rectangles that cover up admission date and zip code so that we can display this, say at a presentation at a conference, without compromising confidentiality. And when I made the slide, initially the boxes had moved. So I had to move them back into a screenshot, and that's why, just to reduce the risk that we're actually going to unmask these data. But it does illustrate some of the perils in displaying this sort of information, that there are a lot of there are security issues that come up in unexpected ways when you actually get into network implementation. So to summarize, we have learned some lessons in terms of looking at hospitalization data as endpoints for the tracking program, and we have sought to incorporate what we've learned into our secure and public portal as we move toward implementation. I talked about the PHASE project, which was particularly interesting from a scientific aspect, and I think to some extent we have, rather than looking at outcomes that explicitly link in a quantitative way health outcomes with environmental data, I think we've, as a program, have focused for the interim on getting on working on data accessibility and availability without looking at explicit linkages. And I think perhaps in the next phase, we may look at taking the data that are up on the portal, that, and once we figure out how they can work, how the portals work, what people want in the portals, we can think more about explicitly linking different types of data in ways that we think really move the ball forward for environmental public health surveillance. So, thank you. Do we have time for questions?
Yeah, we have time for a couple.
Yes. We're looking at acute events, sort of acute, like asthma hospitalizations or emergency department visits. So we're looking at chronic conditions, but we're not really looking at aside from acute events. I don't think we've quite figured out how to approach them in terms of this model. Do you have an example of what? Oh, okay. Yeah, I think that's something that we would have to think about what the environmental data source would be, I guess. It's something that may lend itself better to a research study than a public health surveillance data module where where we're looking to inform a broad range of public health decisions. But it's an interesting idea. Yes? Yeah, I think that's the real messaging challenge that we're facing, not just for asthma. I mean, asthma, I think the link between the environment and acute events is well established, but you're right. It's a small fraction of the Yeah, and there are. We will have air quality data as part of these portals, but I think messaging is one of the real challenges. I think we're trying to make sure that people are fully informed about how the environment affects their health. But at the same time, we're trying to include messages that or access messages that address. Having asthma management plans and access to care and the range of issues that are really front and center in terms of addressing asthma as a public health issue. Yeah, and I would also point out that we have, while we're talking about air quality as an environmental endpoint, on the same portal that we have the asthma data. We have not, we're not at this point making explicit linkages between the two, except to say that air quality is a risk factor. We're providing information so people can look at air quality data for their locality. But I agree that in terms of our approach to presenting this information, it's entirely in the context of what's going on with the rest of our asthma program and the broader messages that about tobacco smoke and cockroaches and the range of indoor environmental asthma triggers that we know are important and that people are encountering every day. So thank you.
Right. Our next speaker is Carol Mansfield. Carol is with RTI International, and she will speak with us about measuring the effectiveness of the Air Quality Index to web-based studies.